Okay, this hour with Dr. Carol Osborne, we'll take your phone calls, share your stories on how your pets may have had this paranormal ability, this psychic ability. We'll take those stories next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Dr. Carol Osborne, of course, and we're going to take your phone calls as well. Carol, you've got a number of pet books out there on the market now, don't you?
I do indeed. Naturally Healthy Cats, and my second book, Naturally Healthy Dogs. Basically 112-page four-color little fact finders that go over the most common health issues that dog and cat owners run into on a daily basis, and they offer an herbal, a homeopathic, and a traditional solution.
What has been the strangest animal story that somebody has brought to you?
The strangest animal story? Boy, that's the strangest animal story. Boy.
I mean, I had a guy, listen to this one. This is like somewhat of a joke, I guess.
Okay.
But he didn't want the cat around the family, and which was kind of mean on his part. So he took the cat and put it in his car and drove a mile, dropped the cat off. By the time he got home, the cat was on the porch. So he, you know, the next day he picked up the cat again when the kids went to school, put the cat in his car, drove a couple miles, dropped the cat off. By the time he got home, the cat was there on the porch, and he couldn't believe it. So the next time, he went 6, 7, 8 miles away from the house, dropped the cat off. On the way back home, he gets lost. He can't figure out how to get home. He calls his wife and said, and the cat's name was Dinky, and he calls his wife and says, can I ask you a question? And she said, yeah, what? He said, is Dinky there? And she said, yeah, why? And he said, put him on the phone. I need to get home. Did you catch that joke, Carol?
Yeah, right.
You're supposed to laugh, Carol, when I say a joke. So we're going to take calls, stories, and everything else with Carol Osborne as we talk about pets. How'd you get into the veterinary business?
You know, I was a kid that loved animals my whole life. I'm allergic to animals. And I wasn't going to let that stop me. So I started out loving horses and then dogs and cats and then just about every critter under the sun. So it's a wonderful, very rewarding profession. And I'm an integrative veterinarian, so traditionally trained Ohio State grad. But then about 10 years into my practice, I realized that there was some big holes in the traditional world of veterinary medicine. So I went back and took several years of formal education in holistic healing, natural therapies, herbs, and I also formulate various supplements and antioxidants, kind of like beets for humans. We make anti-aging products for pets that can retard, reverse, and delay the aging process, offering pets, dogs in particular, 4 to 5 extra healthy years that they can enjoy with their owners.
That's
so that those nutrients, antioxidants, vitamins and minerals, et cetera, are as effective for people as they are for pets. But because the pet lifespan is so much shorter than yours and mine, the impact is even greater. So we've got small breed dogs under 30 pounds going strong at the age of 25 years. Simply by taking a combination of nutrients put together in a tasty little pill that we offer called PAWS, P-A-A-W-S, a pet anti-aging wellness system.
Truly remarkable that a pet could live 25 years, isn't it?
It is. And you know, doing things naturally, minimizing vaccines, being careful with, you know, chemicals and all these different agents that are out there for fleas and ticks and heartworms, getting your pet out for a little exercise each day, feeding healthy, wholesome nutrients. I think that those are some of the keys to helping your pet enjoy a long, healthy life and not getting too hung up with all the shots and vaccines and chemicals that are out there.
All right, back to you, Carol, before we go to the calls. How about a story from you on something that has come your way with a pet?
Well, you know, when you were telling me that story about the cat, I've seen as a horse lover, I've heard similar stories of horses where the guy had the horse and for whatever reason it just wasn't working out, and he went to give it to his neighbor, and did that a few times and kept moving the horse further and further away, and no matter how far he moved that horse, by the next day, the horse would end up right back in the guy's front yard. So these paranormal and psychic powers don't just exist with dogs and cats, but they are also present in other animals, horses, cattle, even spiders and dolphins have unique sensory perceptors that allow them to have supernormal powers and skills, if you will.
What do you think of other insects like ants, which I think are super intelligent?
Well, I think that there's a lot to be learned, you know, in things like that. Even venomous snakes, you know, they've got that deep pair of pits between the nostrils and the eye, and they're actually heat-sensing organs that allow the snakes to see infrared. And for the snake, that's an invaluable sixth sense. For a predator that often hunts at night. So I think it's incredible what these animals are equipped with that allows them to exist, you know, in their particular habitat.
All right, to the phones now we go. Let's go to Cheryl in Anaheim, California. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great.
Tonight?
Good to have you on the show.
Oh, yeah, it's nice to be on here. I listen to your show always. I love your show.
Thank you.
It's great. But I'm calling because I have a little bird, and she's a yellow-sided conure, and one night I had her on my shoulder, and we were in my bedroom. It was kind of late at night, and she started biting at something, but there was nothing there, and I was going, Cookie, what's the matter? And she screamed as loud as I've ever heard her scream. She was scared, kept trying to bite something, and it wasn't there. You know what she said to me after that? She goes, it's David. He died. And my cousin, who died 9 months earlier, that was David.
How would he know David's name?
David, whoever it was, whatever it was, told him.
Wow.
He never met David. And then when he would come and visit, I guess, she'd go, David's here, David's here. And I'd go, where? And she'd go, look up. And he comes and visits, you know, and if he doesn't come, she gets all concerned, like, where's David? Where's he been? She's really super smart. And then one day, she was asking me, who's that? Who's that? And I didn't see anybody, and I go, I don't know, Cookie, why don't you ask him? Well, about an hour or two later, she's going, Wendy, call him for Wendy. I don't have, or know anybody whose name Wendy. So, you know, it's real interesting.
Gee, Carol, what do you say about that?
You know, I think that birds have very strong electromagnetic sensory ability as part of their natural navigation. They use the Earth's own magnetic field, if you will, as a form of GPS. And they also have a wider field of perception in that they can see in the ultraviolet spectrum of light, which humans and other animals, you know, don't have, in addition to which, it sounds like maybe there was a connection to the ghost or the spirit or the energy that had to be present in that environment.
Donna's with us in Ohio now. Welcome to the program. Hi, Donna.
Hi, good morning. Okay, it was kind of a funny story. Well, it's not funny. It was kind of scary. When I first bought my house, I had just like a medium-sized dog. And we were sitting around one night, you know, I had a friend over, and the dog was sitting, I had a, you know, on the couch, but she was sitting on the couch by herself. Now, she used to bark at the corner, when I first bought the house, she'd bark at the corners of the room, and I was kind of thinking something was up here, and so this night in particular, it looked like somebody just, like, flung her off the couch, like if you were sitting on the couch and the dog jumped up next to you and you just, like, pushed her off. But nobody was there. It was just, you know, nobody was sitting next to her. And so that's when I called Mary Witkowski over. And she told me there was a woman spirit in the house and a male as well. But the woman hated animals.
Hated animals.
Hated animals. Isn't that amazing?
There's another one, yeah.
So, yeah, she made them go away. So.
They're out there. Thanks for sharing that story with us, Doc.
Wow, you're almost like an intelligent hunt.
You got enough material to write another book here, Carol.
Absolutely.
Of all the remarkable things that animals have done, would you say their cancer-smelling properties might be the best, or their ghost, visuals? What do you think?
I think that this new evidence and the early cancer detection in humans is absolutely huge. And if they can make a breath analyzer that can be as sensitive as that dog's nose, detecting these cancers at up to 98% accuracy.
That would be remarkable.
That would offer almost 1 million people a year a chance at life.
Yeah, before it spreads.
Before it spreads, absolutely.
Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, David. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
I'd like to tell you a little story about two amazing cats I had. I've had pets my whole life, and I got these two cats way later in life, and they were just very amazing cats. One got real sick, got cancer. We fought as hard as we could to keep our cat with us. And then the other one went several years later. She made it to about 16 years. But after they had left, I'd spent 2 years developing a video game, really trying to focus my efforts. But after they left, something drew me to make a video game about cats to memorialize them.
Huh, and did you?
And yes, sir, I did. I just released it this year.
What's it called?
It is called Kitten Madness.
Kitten Madness. How about that?
And if it's successful, I'm going to try to do a rescue for cats.
All right. Good luck for you. Thanks, David. How about that? Cats inspired a video game.
Cats inspired a video game. Hey, I think it sounds wonderful. Great, great work, David.
Carol, since you've been doing this holistically for animals, have you seen a difference with what the commercial brands of food are doing these days? I mean, we had that scare from China with the beef jerkies and things, chewies for animals, where they died, it killed them.
You know, you bring up a good point, and it's unfortunate to say that in the menu pet food recall of 2004 and 2007, where over 250,000 pets died because of the melamine and the cyanuronic acid, a chemical used to clean swimming pools, those two agents which were in those foods combined in the kidney tubules and caused acute kidney failure and death of all those animals. And you would like to think that after that, everybody went back to the drawing board and really did what they should do to offer pet owners the quality pet foods that their pets deserve. Unfortunately, what happened in many cases was there was a tremendous amount of legal bills to be paid. Many of these companies went out and they hired top-shelf graphic artists to draw beautiful pictures on the bags and on the cans. They came up with beautiful natural green-type names. But what did they put into that bag or that can of food? Unfortunately, if you go to FDA.gov/pet food recalls and you take a look at the number and the severity of the pet food recalls going on since that point in time or even since the first of the year, unfortunately, it's very alarming. Right now, in addition to pet food recalls, we've got all different kinds of class action lawsuits involving some of these very big name pet food companies because they don't want the public to find out. So what I say to people is I'm all about homemade diets. I'm all about holistic options. If you do decide to cook for your pet, make sure you talk to your vet that you're creating a balanced recipe and you're using a comprehensive, balanced antioxidant vitamin mineral supplement to make sure that your pet has all the nutrients that he or she requires. But what I say to people is, whatever you're feeding or whatever you're giving, if you want to know if it's working, all you got to do is look right at that pet on those four legs in front of you. The eyes
That's
should
right.
glisten. The skin and hair coat should shine. It shouldn't be dull. It shouldn't be shedding and falling out all over your carpet. They should have lots of energy. They should move freely.
And not be lethargic.
They should have plenty of vim and vigor. And if you're spending money on food and or supplements and that's not what you're seeing, then I think it's time to go back to the drawing board, make an appointment with your veterinarian, and see if perhaps there's another approach that might provide better results.
Let's go to Brent in Kansas City, Missouri. Brent, go ahead.
How you doing today?
Great. How about you?
Awesome. I'm amazing, George. It's so nice to talk to you. My uncle showed me your show years ago. He's passed since then, but I've listened to your show every night.
Well, thank
and
you.
And I love you. Thank you so much for what you do. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I was listening to your show. I actually have four rabbits, a cockatiel. I got a bird. I know.
You've got a farm.
Yes, a zoo in my house, in my apartment. But I have a cat, and his name is Jeff.
So and what does Jeff do?
It's a black and white cat. My brother shot himself on 6/6/16.
Oh, my God.
So he killed himself. Well, days later, this cat just showed up. It has never left my side since, and has basically, every day that I come home, he's there. I feel somewhat like he reincarnated into my brother's spirit, somewhat into the cat.
That's an interesting take, yeah.
But he definitely never left me, and then I lost 2 months. He went to a woman's house that lived right down the road. She took him to the vet, spent $200 on him, and we had put a lot of fires out trying to find him
yeah.
and everything. She finally called me and goes, I think I have your cat. So I got him back after 3 months of him being gone.
But she took care of him well, right?
Oh, she spent hundreds of dollars on him. She spent $250 at the vet getting all of his, finding out his age, finding out he was neutered, finding out just everything that,
yeah.
you know, just all the information I didn't know. And I still have him right here. Every day he's with me. He's my best friend.
I love it. It's your brother.
So I'm like, yes, he's my brother. He's my dude.
I love
Jeff
it.
Is my boy.
Carol, what do you think about the possibility of animals being reincarnated humans?
I think we just heard a story where that in fact is what happened. And you know you can't put a lot of tags on it, but there's not a lot of other things that really make good sense.
You know what? And it is just as good a story as any I've heard.
Just as good a story as any I've heard, too. no doubt about that.
That's something else. The cat shows up on the day the brother dies.
Unbelievable. You know, they say practice makes perfect, and, you know, the telepathy of these dogs and cats relies upon this hyper-awareness of the senses, and somehow if between the hyper-awareness of the senses and the possible reincarnation of the spirit and the energies caused this kitty to just, you know, walk into Brant's life. It's hard to argue with that.
It sure is. Stay with us, Carol. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls. So those of you who are on hold, just hang there. We'll try to get to you as quickly as possible. Our final segment just ahead with Dr. Carol Osborne. And welcome back to our final segment with Dr. Carol Osborne as we talk about the incredible abilities of cats and animals. But we just heard of the ability of a bird to pick it up, too. So are they as sensitive, Carol, as a dog or a cat?
I think that birds have certain unique sensory perception that allows them to... you know, have certain insights and perceptions. You know, we talked about like the GPS and their natural, you know, navigation using their electromagnetic sensory abilities, their ability to see in the ultraviolet spectrum of light, which humans and most other animals are not able, you know, don't possess. And birds, most birds also have an excellent sense of smell. So I would say that definitely fits the bill.
How does a pigeon know where it's going? Homing pigeons.
Well, you know, the pigeons, again, they've got this EMF capability so that they can go from, you know, one target to the next and be trained with extreme efficiency to do that and, you know, repeat that over and over. You know, which is why they you know, have all the homing pigeons and, you know, the activities that you know, people do with them.
Do the dogs act strangely at all, or cats, during full moons?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Without a doubt, in my people. Experience, I think that a lot of people do as well.
Yeah, I think it's the gravitational pull on the body.
I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, and you know, maybe even more. You know, and that's affecting animals with us, animals on the other side, animal ghosts, etc.
Let's go to Houston, Texas now. Mike's with us on the wild card line. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, Michael. Thank you.
How you doing, Dr. Carroll? Happy New Year. Excellent. Happy 2018.
Excellent.
Let's hope it's better than the last couple of years. Anyways, well, I had a cat I lost last year, but I'm not going to get into that. I wanted to ask you, I've always heard these amazing stories how pets have been lost on vacation, and somehow they track their way 500 miles, 1,000 miles,
yeah,
2,000 miles back home, or a family moves and they leave a pet behind, and somehow the pet finds its way to the new home. And I was wondering how that happens. Are they psychically linked into the family, or are they scent tracking, or what are they doing exactly?
Well, you know, that's a combination of the clairvoyance, the telepathy, and the hyper-awareness of the senses, in addition to the fact that in the brain of dogs and cats, there are iron particles that line up with the electromagnetic forces of the Earth and act just like a magnet, which allows these animals to find their way home days, weeks, months, and even years later from all different parts of the country. In fact, that's the premise that the Disney movie Homeward Bound with the two dogs and the kitty was based on.
I mean, we've heard these incredible real stories of how animals will, you know, get back home after all those miles and time, too. I mean, they're amazing stories.
And they are real. Those are real, absolute, factual stories.
Yep, absolutely. And does that also tell you the desire of the animal to get home?
Absolutely. You know, that bond that we share with these animals is is huge. It goes beyond sane. And the more time that we spend and the closer our relationship is, you know, you've got conditioning, you've got reinforcement. We are the primary social companion of the kitty or of the dog. And that allows them to, you know, hone in their paranormal skills to a very fine degree.
Our first-time caller, Sandy, is in Bellingham, Washington. Hi, Sandy. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Boy, this is nice being on with you. I've listened
to you
and Art Bell for a long time.
You're one of the originals.
Yeah, long time. Good evening, Carol.
Well, good evening, Sandy. Welcome.
I had a cat, Carol, that she died 5 years ago, but I love that cat. She was just really close, real close to me.
Sure.
Do you have any kind of readings that you could give me on her?
Well, I can
her
sense the closeness of your bond.
Do you pick up on animals like that, Carol?
In certain cases, depending on the strength of the connection, you know, I can tell in this case that this kitty wants you to know that she is absolutely fine.
Uh-huh.
That she cares about you and loved the time that she spent with you.
Is she still around me?
She apparently does spend a little bit of time coming to see you if you maybe hear a little meow or feel a little brush against your leg every now and then?
Do they eventually move on, Carol?
You know, when they feel that their job here is complete, when they have said their goodbyes, when this cat, even though it may have been 5 years, Sandy, when this little gal feels that you are going to be safe and content without her, she will then move to the other side. But until she is sure that everything is going to be okay, she's going to just stay on this side and kind of keep an eye on things. So if you feel the little brush or you think you hear that little purring, my guess is that's exactly what you're sensing.
Thanks, Sandy. Good luck to you. Do they reincarnate all the time?
Do they reincarnate all the time?
Like they say we do.
You know, I think that they definitely do reincarnate. Whether we perceive that and feel that in this life, I think has a lot to do with the strength of that bond that we share with our pets. And because today, for so many people of all ages, that pet is absolutely number one. People love their pets just like a child. So I think that in the vast majority of cases, absolutely. Absolutely, we reincarnate. And whether we pass to the other side right away, or like with Sandy's kitty, we kind of stay back and keep an eye on things, depends on closure and the exact situation at the time that the passing occurred.
Let's go to Norman in Toronto, Canada. Hi, Norman.
Hi, everyone. George, you're a real gentleman. We love you from coast to coast up here, and thanks very much.
We love Toronto. We're going to end up doing another live stage show soon.
Oh, great. I'll be there. Okay, great. One aspect of cats and dogs that doesn't get mentioned enough is their ability to just absorb tension within a family and just make things better when you're having a nasty argument or something like that. They can really lighten up the mood, and we've always had cats and dogs in our family since we were kids, and they've always had that ability. And you know, before you know it, if you're having an argument, they'll come down, they'll stare at you, and they'll say, "Hey, you people crazy or what?" And we'll all burst out laughing and just change the mood completely. So that's something that's underrated in cats and dogs, I think.
What do you think of that, Carol?
Norman, I completely agree with you. And that whole mental stress level, happiness, sadness, all those different emotions our pets absolutely perceive. And if you got something bad going on in your head or your home or whatever it might be, and you know they come and you know nuzzle your leg or snuggle up against you, they absolutely feel, perceive, and experience the emotional and mental pressures that you and I experience each day. And they are sensitive to those things. And in many cases, you have stressed people. And if the stress level is too high, then the pet becomes stressed, which can then be seen as an upset tummy or another type of medical issue that results in a pet, just as it does in a human.
I'm still amazed, Carol, at the pets that can sense death. And they just cuddle up with that person who's ready to pass on. And they do.
They do indeed. And that goes right back to that exceptional sense of smell and the different organic, if you will, compounds that the body emits through the breath and through the perspiration that these animals can smell, just like they can smell cancer. They can also, unfortunately, or fortunately, if you will, smell death.
We go to Julie in San Diego now on the wild card line. Good morning, Jewel.
Hi. I want to share a story about the two dogs owned by an airplane pilot. Here in San Diego, we had a terrible PSA crash, September 25th, 1978. It was flight 182. And there was a news reporter, Dennis Morgino, that interviewed the wife of Captain McFerrin. And she told the story how she was home getting ready for her husband to come home in the morning sometime. The crash of this big plane occurred around I forgot if it was 8:55 or 9:05 in the morning. But anyhow, she was home getting ready, and her two big dogs started howling, and they were howling very mournfully. And she looked at the clock, and the clock had stopped. And then suddenly her friend called her and said, has your husband come home yet? And the dogs were howling, and she just knew. She just knew that she knew that he was dead. And she was just beside herself. She crawled into her bed, laid down, and she had a sensation that her husband was there right next to her bedside, and also her dad next to her. And But later, her clock had permanently stopped right at the moment that the big airline had hit the ground and everybody perished. It's just terrible. And the big 40th anniversary is coming up here, September,
That's a great story.
But her dogs knew right away, and they just were howling terribly. And so, I don't know, I just awful. So the dogs somehow knew.
And let me ask you, Carol, do the dogs sense the deaths, or do they sense the ghostly apparition?
They sense both. In the case, with Flight 182, I don't think that they could have sensed the death, but certainly everything on Julie's end, as well as depending on the proximity of the crash and whatever vibrations, et cetera, may have been perceivable through that sixth sense. Those dogs were absolutely aware of the horrific situation, that had occurred.
Arnie's in Roseville, California now. Welcome to the show, Arnie.
Yeah, I was living in San Diego when that airline accident happened. That was horrible.
Oh, jeez, it was.
But, I got two comments, one on food and the other on dogs' predictions.
Okay.
The one on food, I bred dachshunds for years, and I found out, as the guest says, that some of these dog foods aren't what they're supposed to be. And I started feeding them my own homemade food. I had a male and a female. The female lived to be almost 22, and the male 18
Whoa.
Years old.
That's amazing.
Real old. They're healthy and great. Then I got a bulldog later, big old American bulldog, and I rescued him. He had bad gas and diarrhea and a terrible coat, and I did the same thing. It wasn't more than a month, and he was good. Everybody now asks him, what are you doing with this dog? He's so beautiful.
Good for
it's
you,
food.
Jeff.
It's the food, really. Spend the money on the food.
Congratulations. You know, you are what you eat. In holistic medicine, we use food as medicine. So there's nothing more important than what you put in that pet's bowl. Absolutely. Sure. Home run.
Then the other thing on prediction, dogs being able to predict. That bulldog, my son used to live with me, he could tell when my son was coming home. He got come home from work sometimes, different times, 15 to 20 minutes right before he come home. He'd be sitting in the foyer waiting for him to come home. And it didn't matter. He'd work late. Well, he wouldn't be there until 15 or 20 minutes before. But the most important thing I want to say is I just watched an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, that old program about in 1990. And it was on a dog, a service dog, that could predict a person's epileptic seizures before they happen.
Jeez.
And nobody in Western medicine, nobody can do that to this point. Medical doctors can't say with any predictability of how often or when somebody who has these seizures, and this dog was able to predict. He would take the owner and bring him to a safe place before a seizure.
Before it happened. That's amazing.
5 to 30 minutes before. And I'm wondering why we don't, that show was an old show. Why aren't we pushing this more? Why aren't Western medicine going in?
Yeah, why aren't we tapping into stuff like this?
Arnie, that's a
30
good
seconds.
Point. And the reality is today we have service dogs in a variety of areas, but these dogs that are trained to detect seizures, the cost to train one of these dogs in the realm of $10,000 to $20,000+, and these programs do go on for epilepsy, diabetes, different types of disabilities, and they're not highly publicized, which is unfortunate. However, I want all of our pet loving listeners to know that they are available. Don't be afraid to give our office a call. We're always glad to help, or just, you know, jump right onto Google and plug in a few keywords, and you will find that there are associations actively training these animals.
And we've got the link for you, Carol, at coasttocoastam.com. Thank you. Great show. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.